All right, we're continuing to teach on your identity in Christ, and this is actually just an extension, an outgrowth of what I was teaching on spirit, soul, and body. You've got to understand that you are changed in the Spirit, and that in the Spirit you have everything it takes to prosper. You are complete in your spirit. You're as perfect right now as you will ever be in eternity. And this is not only true that you have a spirit on the inside of you and that that is the real you and that you've got to start thinking spiritually, but you also need to recognize that there's a spiritual world out here. There are angels, there are demons in this place today. We just can't see them, but they're here. Somebody says, well, there shouldn't be any demons. Didn't you pray and rebuke them all? If I was to get rid of all the demons, we wouldn't have as many people in this room. That is true. I'm telling you what, depression, discouragement, many sicknesses and finances, poverty, spirit, on and on. There's a lot of demonic stuff that people still have, and we're in the process of getting out of it. But there are demons, there are angels in this place. We've had people see angels in here. And I believe it. I've had people before that have seen angels stand beside me. I even know two of my angels' names. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I had one woman come up. She says, I know three of my angels' names. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. But you know what? Even though we can't see it, I can guarantee you there are things in the spirit realm. And this has just revolutionized the way that I understand how God works. Because people that are carnal, that only acknowledge the physical realm, what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, they don't think anything happens until there is something physical, until you can see it, until a doctor can verify it, until the banker, you know, until you have the money in the bank, they don't think anything has happened. But I'm telling you, here's a great truth that God is a spirit. John 4:24. God moves in the spirit realm, and there are things that can delay what God has already commanded and released in the spiritual realm, and it can delay and even abort that ever coming into physical manifestation. But like in Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Religion, you know, everybody asks for something and doesn't see it manifest. And so they say, well, that couldn't mean what it says. So maybe sometimes he says yes and sometimes he says no. The next verse, verse 8 says, everyone that asketh receiveth, and to him that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So that rules out that sometimes God says no. If it's based on God's word, 1 John 5:14-15 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that we have the petitions that we desire. I mean, we know that He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. And so God never says no. All of His promises, 2 Corinthians 1:20, all of the promises of God in Him are yes and amen unto the glory of God by us. God never says no. But somebody said, but I prayed for healing and I didn't get it. This person prayed for healing and they died. All you can say is that it never manifested itself. But I can guarantee you, anytime you ask, God releases the power, but He is a spirit. He releases it into the spirit realm. He releases it into your spirit. You've already got raising from the dead power in your spirit. Whether that ever comes out of the spiritual realm and manifest in your physical body is not a reflection of what God has done. It's a reflection of, can you believe and receive? Can you by faith reach into the spirit realm and bring it into the physical realm? Your faith is like a bridge between the spirit and the physical realm. God never fails. God is never the one who fails to give and to answer prayer, but we fail to allow Him to come into the physical realm through us. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. How many of you believe that? It's wrong. I quoted that the way people believe it, not the way it's written. It says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God's power is limited by you believing. So it's never God that doesn't heal. God, all of the promises of God in Him are yes and amen. Anytime you ask anything according to His will, you know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petitions. If you ask, you receive. God is faithful. God gives, but He gives it in spiritual form. And you, your faith makes it physical. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 11. This is a real familiar passage of Scripture, but not well understood. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives substance. Substance is talking about tangibility, reality. This pulpit has substance. You can feel it. You can touch it. You can see it. Anything with substance is tangible. So faith is the substance. It gives tangibility to things hoped for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. It didn't say the evidence of things that don't exist. They do exist. They're just in an unseen realm. Did you know that everything in this physical world, that mountain out there, everything that you can see and touch, it came from the spiritual world. The spiritual world created this physical world. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, since we're here, look at this. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It didn't say things which are seen were made out of nothing. It was made out of stuff, but it was spiritual stuff. It was made out of things that we can't see. There was a spiritual world, spiritual kingdom, spiritual things that existed before this physical world existed. The spiritual world created this physical world. The parent force is greater than what it created. You know, things I'm saying here, some of you may think, well, what's the importance of this? This is profound. Because most of us, again, we grew up carnal. We grew up teaching that all that exists is what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. We have been taught to reject and criticize and think that it's superstition that there is anything beyond what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, your physical senses. And because of it, the things that this is saying is just contrary to the way that we think. And it becomes a hindrance to us receiving from God because it says, ask and you shall receive. So I say, Father, I ask for healing. And if you can't feel or see it, just boom like that, well, then God didn't move. You think that nothing has happened because you hadn't seen it. I'm telling you, that is very immature. And this is where everybody seems to live. You know, I'm using a wireless microphone right now. There is no wire going from here to the back to the speakers. It's a wireless signal. It is being broadcast through the air. You can't see it, but I can guarantee you it's happening. And there's not only this wireless signal, there's radio signals in here, there's television signals in here. All you'd have to do is take a television set and put it up here, plug it in, turn it on, and you know what? When you start seeing and hearing the signal, it is not when it originates. It's here. There's all kinds of stuff in here that you can't see, feel, hear, and yet we've come to realize that they're real. There's things that you can't see. You can't see germs. Now, if you take a microscope and stuff, you might be able to magnify them. But we've just come to realize that there's all kinds of things that you can't perceive with your little peanut brain. But when it comes to God, we asked God to pay our tuition, and if it's not paid, God, you didn't come through. It's not true. God moved. God answered your prayer if you prayed in faith. But He has to flow through you or through somebody. You know, I remember back during our poverty days that, man, I was believing God for our rent to be paid. And it was $100 rent. And I was believing for $120 so I could give $20 off of it. And so that's what I was believing for. And it was 3 weeks late. And we didn't eat for 3 weeks. I wouldn't take money that I'd owed somebody and use it to eat. If we couldn't pay our bills, I'd pay my bills before I ate. And so Jamie and I went 3 weeks with no food. And man, I was just struggling. God, what's wrong? Finally, I got a call, and this lady wanted to take me out and buy us a meal. And I thought, man, this is awesome. We hadn't eaten in 3 weeks. So we went out, and we were visiting with her. And as we were eating, she handed me a check for $120, exactly what I was believing for. And I was thankful, but I was thinking, God, why 3 weeks late? And while we were eating, I didn't say that, but she told me, Andy, this is the first time I have ever given money to anywhere but my church. And she says, God told me 4 weeks ago to give this to you, but I have never given money to anything but a church, and I wasn't sure. And she said, I had been praying about this and struggling, and finally, I'm just absolutely convinced that God told me to do this. And a little light bulb went off like, God, you were faithful. You spoke. You moved. But God uses people. God is not going to rain money down out of heaven. Some of you are believing for prosperity, and I've actually heard people on television before say, send in and get this green string for $10, put it in your billfold, and you'll never be without money. God will just create money. God does not counterfeit United States currency. That's against the law. You are never going to see money drop out of the sky. God does not create money. He uses people. It says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men, that means a physical person, give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God uses people. God wanted to bless this woman, and He just knew that I'd stick with it. And so He didn't go to somebody else. He waited on her to come through, and she was 3 weeks late. God wasn't 3 weeks late. She was 3 weeks late. You know what? We have needs and stuff like this. And I know that it's not God that doesn't speak to people, but people. Satan is just speaking to people. Like, for instance, when 9/11 happened, did you know that most ministers' income dropped? You know why? Because they quit watching Christian television. They wanted to watch secular news, see what was happening, see what the next thing was. People started giving to all of these agencies to help the people who had been affected by it. And that's not totally wrong, but I'm saying it's just people. People quit watching. And you know what? My bills stayed the same. Amen. They didn't discount my bills because 9/11 happened. But people quit watching my program, so they out of sight, out of mind, people quit giving. And you know what? We took a hit financially for a period of time. Not because God wasn't faithful and didn't come through. God uses people. Every time there is a national emergency, Hurricane Harvey, anything happens, giving decreases to our ministry because people quit watching my program and they go to watching the news and they start giving. They take their money that they were going to give to ministry and they will give it to something else. And that's not 100% wrong, but I'm saying that it's not God cutting off the spigot. It's not because I did something wrong. God uses people. Some of you work for other businesses and stuff, and you know what? They may be struggling. And God is going to supply your need through them. So you need to pray for the success of your business. You need to bless your employer. And there's just all kinds of things involved. But see, God moves. God speaks. But He moves in the spirit realm. And it's going to take somebody with a physical body to take what He's done and manifest it into the physical realm. You are a transformer. If you look at it right, you can take things that God has already done in the spiritual realm, and you can make them manifest into the physical realm by believing and speaking and acting. We can reach into the spiritual world and bring what's in the spiritual world into the physical world. So it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Things that do exist, they just aren't seen. There's an unseen realm out there, and there's an unseen realm on the inside of you, and this is what we've been talking about, who you are in Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You already have the anointing of God abides within you, and you need not that any man teach you. John chapter 2, verse 27, and many scriptures. You're already anointed. You know, I go to churches and they'll get me into a back room before I get up to preach and they'll pray, "Oh God, we pray that you'd just anoint Andrew. Oh God, speak through." And I don't usually say anything, but you know what? That is useless. If I'm not already anointed, I'm not going to get it in the next 10 minutes. If I'm not anointed, why would they have even invited me to speak in the first place? See, people have this thing that the anointing comes and goes. No, you are anointed by Him, and the anointing which you have received abides within you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Your spirit never fluctuates. Now, you may fluctuate. You may come and go from the anointing. You may get your mind stayed on things and get into unbelief and fear and get to where you don't manifest the anointing. If they wanted to pray and say, "Oh God, we know that you've already called Andrew, you've blessed him, your anointing is here, but man, he is carnal. Would you help him to be spiritual?" I'd probably say amen to a prayer like that. But when you put it off on God, "God, you anoint him," you're criticizing God. When you say, "Oh God, would you heal me?" In a sense, it's a slap in the face of God when he says, "By his stripes, you're already healed." You've already got all of these things in your spirit. You don't need to pray and ask God to do something. It's already been released. It is a spiritual reality. It's already placed on the inside of you. What you've got to do is get into agreement. Start believing, speaking, and acting in agreement with what God says you already have. But it's already done. Everything you'll need is already done. God has already placed it in your spirit, but it's in the spiritual realm. And if you say, "Well, where is it? I don't feel it." See, again, that's carnal. You're looking in the physical realm. You want to feel something. And if I could just have a goosebump run up and down my spine, "God, I know that you're here." And you know, Pentecostals are some of the worst about this. When I was in the Baptist realm, you couldn't feel anything. Man, if somebody raised their hand, they'd come say, "It's the second door on the left down here." Amen. I mean, nobody raised their hand. Nobody, praise God. We actually took a vote on one of our music directors because he would say, "Praise the Lord." And they thought that was sacrilegious. And they voted on whether to kick him out of the church for saying, "Praise the Lord." I mean, man, somebody says, "Well, I got religion. I can't help it." We said, "Well, you didn't get it here." Amen. I mean, we were dead. We were so dead that a guy died, they called 911, and they took out half the crowd before they found the dead person. Amen. But see, the Baptist, you didn't believe in anything. So when we prayed, you weren't expecting a feeling. You weren't expecting a tingling. You weren't expecting somebody to go, "Glory, hallelujah, and I feel it," or something like that. We didn't have any of that. But in the Pentecostal realm, since there are physical manifestations, and you do feel things sometimes. People get over in the other ditch to where if I prayed and didn't feel it, well, then God didn't move. That's wrong too. Feelings happen. I'm not like Spock. I don't deny feelings. I have feelings, but they don't dictate anything to me. If they come, fine. But if they don't, it doesn't matter. I'm not going by what I feel. I'm going by what the Word of God says. And there's just not a lot of people that can go beyond their feelings and just stand on what the Word says. If the doctor says you got something, but the Bible says you're healed, most people go with the doctor, you know, 10 out of 10 times. There's very few people that can stand. And it's because they think, "Well, I prayed and I didn't see anything. I didn't feel anything. Nothing in the natural has changed." And if they can't see it, they think God hasn't moved. God moves in the spiritual realm, and whether it comes into the physical realm is not dependent upon God, it's dependent upon you. You're the one that determines whether something comes into the physical or not. But God has answered every prayer that you've ever prayed. God has released the power. You may not have seen it because you can stop the things of God from happening. Man, I got some things I'd love to say, and I know I don't have time to say them. Let me see what my next lesson is. I want to see if I'm getting into something else. Oh, that's the last one in this series. Man, I got a teaching entitled "What to Do When Your Prayers Seem Unanswered." Man, if you don't have that, you ought to get it. That would fit perfectly right here. But let's turn over to 2
Kings chapter 6. And let me illustrate what I'm talking to you about. Second Kings chapter 6 is an instance where Elisha had been telling the king of Israel, the king of Syria's battle plans. And every time the king of Syria would send his armies into the land of Israel, Elisha would be told by God, he would go tell the king of Israel, and the king of Israel would set an ambush and destroy the Syrians. And this happened so often that the king of Syria said, somebody here is a traitor. This king has to know my battle plans. Somebody's giving away my battle plans. And one of his maids says, it's none of us, my lord, O king, but it's the Elisha, the man of God, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. And so the king of Syria sent all of his troops down, and they surrounded this city of Dothan where Elisha and his servant were. And it says in verse 14, therefore, send he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? This is just old English for saying that he panicked. What are we going to do? He saw, and you know what? If you were the one that was giving away the battle plans of a foreign nation, and if you were doing all of this and causing them to be defeated at every turn, and then all of a sudden you woke up one morning and all of that foreign nation's army surrounded you, you would know why they were there. You would know that, man, they have found out that you are giving away the battle plan. So this is what Gehazi did. He said, alas, my master, how shall we do? And look at this. And he answered, Elisha answered and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Boy, that is powerful. But did you know that a person who is carnal, who just goes by what they see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, they would look at this and say, well, that's a lie. And this is what a lot of people think faith is. Faith is just lying about something, saying that it's so when it's really not so. And if you'll say it long enough, then it'll become so. That's what a lot of people think faith is. It's just faking it until you make it. I'm going to say that my rent's paid. I'm going to say that my tuition's paid. I'm going to say that I'm prosperous, but the truth is I'm poor. Well, if that's what you think, that's wrong, and that's the reason it's not working for you. This was not a lie. It was a lie if all you think is real is the physical world. If all you're going to look at is the physical world, well, then it was a lie because you could count the Syrians by thousands. 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, and then you look over and go, one, two. In the natural, there were not more with them, Elisha and his servant, than there were with the enemy. But in the spiritual, if you take into account all of reality, which the spiritual world is real, then he wasn't lying. He was speaking the truth, but it was a truth based upon the spiritual realm, including that, not just limited to the physical world. So Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Did you know when the Lord opened up Gehazi's eyes and he saw this is not when the horses came. No more than when you turn on a television set and all of a sudden you begin to see the signal and hear the sound. That's not when the signal starts. The signal was already there. You just received it. You just begin to start tapping into it. Those angels were there the entire time. Thousands of them. And the New Testament says that what we have as New Testament believers is greater than what any Old Testament believer ever had. So if Elisha had thousands of horses and chariots of fire surrounding him, I've got tens of thousands of horses and chariots of fire that surround me right now. And so do you. And so you put all of this together, this place is crowded. This place is full. We've got tens of thousands, who knows, hundreds of thousands of angels in this place and all over this property and all over the place. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean that they aren't here. When the Lord prayed, when Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open up the man's eyes, I guarantee you, he wasn't standing there with his eyes closed, his physical eyes. This wasn't talking about his physical eyes. It was talking about you can see things with your heart. Man, I hadn't got time to go into this, but I'll just say this quickly, that I don't believe that the Lord made man with five senses. I believe he made us with six senses. That sixth sense was faith. You can see by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Did you know that the way you and I have been brought up is very substandard to the way that Adam and Eve were brought up? They used to walk by faith. Again, I haven't got time to explain all of this, but if you go over to Genesis chapter 3, the first thing that happened when they ate of the tree, their eyes were open and that they knew that they were naked. And you'll hear people say that, well, they were clothed in the glory of God. They were having a robe of righteousness, and they make all of these spiritual analogies. And there's a place for some of that stuff. But if you read Genesis chapter 2, and I believe it's, anyway, it's the last verse of chapter 2, it says they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were both, they didn't have a stitch of glory or anything on them, amen. They were naked. But they had never noticed that they were naked until they ate of the tree. You know what happened? They used to walk by faith. They used to live by faith. They saw through their heart, not through their physical eyes. Their heart was dominant. And when they ate of the tree, their spiritual sight closed. And they got to where they couldn't see spirits. They couldn't see angels. They couldn't see God. They couldn't see into the spiritual realm. And instead, they became like you and I have been raised, to where they were just going by this physical sight. But now we can walk by faith. You can see things with your heart better than you can see with your eyes. I know some of you think, man, this is strange. Well, it certainly is different than all of us were raised, but this is normal Christianity. You know, we held a meeting down in Colorado Springs. It was one of our campus days thing, and we had about 200 or 300 people at a Holiday Inn. And I was sitting on the front row. I was like in this seat right here in the aisle, and I was sitting right here. And over here on the left, there were these two doors that were on these things that when you open, they close slowly and things like that, whatever you call those things. And anyway, I was sitting here, and I was just worshiping the Lord. And Jamie was singing, and we were in a powerful time of worship, and I had my eyes closed. And in my heart, I mean, I wasn't thinking about these doors. I was worshiping the Lord. But all of a sudden in my heart, I just saw these two doors over there just, bam, fly open like this. And Jesus stepped in and he just stood there. And then those doors closed behind him. And there were these two ladies that run our Indiana and Chicago school. And they were over here sitting on this section. And Jesus just walked in and he touched one of them on the forehead. And I mean, bam, she just fell like a spread eagle on the ground like this, face forward, worshiping the Lord. And then there was two people in between, and he walked over and touched the second one, and she hit her knees and put her hands up in the air. And what I was seeing in my heart with my eyes closed was so real that I actually opened my eyes to see what I could see. And the moment I opened my eyes, those doors just go wham like this, and they flung open, but there was nobody there. And then I kept looking, and that first lady, she just fell, spread eagle, on the ground. And then two people down, the other one hit her knee. And everything that I was seeing in my heart, I could see with my eyes, but it was 20 seconds later or something, and I could only see the physical things that were happening. I couldn't see Jesus in the spiritual realm that was doing it. And so you know what I did? I actually closed my eyes, because I could see better with my heart than I could see with my eyes. And I closed my eyes, and the Lord came over and spoke some things to me. And then I saw him go down this center aisle and just touch people that were on the aisle and speak to them. And I heard what he said to them. So after the meeting was over, I didn't tell anybody. I just walked up and I said, what happened to you during that service? I said, oh, the Lord spoke this to me. That's exactly what I heard. I heard and I saw all of these things in the spiritual realm. Sad to say, I wished I did that more often. But I'm saying you can walk by faith. There is a spiritual world out there and in you. And in the Spirit, man, this is where God moves and this is where God lives.
And when you ask for something, God moves, but it's in spiritual form. And He has to have somebody see by faith and say that I'm healed. But your body says you're sick. I don't care what my body says. I've seen into the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit realm. I know who I am. And I am not saying that it's so, hoping that it'll become so. I'm saying it's so because it is already so in the spiritual realm, and I just am in agreement with it, and I stand, and it just manifests. That is a totally different attitude. Somebody might say, well, what's the difference? One way or the other, you're still saying you're healed when it's obvious that you aren't. It's what you believe. I really believe I am healed, even when I don't look healed, when I don't feel healed. I believe I've got it. It's in my spirit. And I'm going to stand in agreement and speak and say what the Spirit man says. And when I do that, man, the physical will bow the knee. Amen. And if it takes a while, it's not God who takes a while. It's me that takes a while to get over my carnality and going by what I see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. Whether you realize it or not, brothers and sisters, we've been baptized in unbelief. You've been brought up in unbelief. You've been taught unbelief. And I know that God sent you here. Praise God that you've responded. Praise God that you've come. I know that you're receiving and good things are happening. But you are going against everything you've been taught for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years or whatever it is. And it just takes a while to renew your mind to this. You know, you stand and you believe for something like this building. This was impossible. But I had it on the inside. I saw all of this stuff. I designed this building. I drew these things. I told the people what I wanted. I saw it. And then when I see it with my eyes, it's not that big of a deal. You can actually get to where seeing by faith is more exciting than seeing with your physical eyes. Right now, I'm seeing. I just went and had two people I sat down with, and we are dreaming about what this 493 acres is going to be. And I'm in the process of seeing. I'll see it. I see a little bit of it right now, but it's not clear yet. So I just meditate and pray, and I'll see it. And then you know what? Once I see it in my heart, it's just a matter of time until it's going to happen in the physical. I saw this building before it happened. I saw that building before it happened. I'm seeing all kinds of stuff. And not only that, but I see healing before it happens. And I know that it's real. It's mine. I've got it. I'm not saying that it's so. I'm not faking it until it becomes real. I've gotten to where, to me, the spiritual realm is just as real as this physical world. Jesus is with us in here today just as real as if He was here in His physical body. Actually, it's better. It's better because you know what? If He was here in His physical body, He would be limited in what He could do. But He's in each one of us. Jesus is alive on the inside of every one of you, but you can't see Him. And you can't feel Him. And sad to say, a lot of people think that He's not present until you have a goosebump or until somebody shouts or screams or jumps a pew or something like that. Man, Jesus is here. And when you get to where you can walk by faith and when everything around you is falling apart, you're just still praising God. You know, I had one of our brothers come up during the after the first session and tell me, I forget the details, forgive me if I get it wrong, but their little baby crammed a spoon down their throat, and I mean, it was really bad, and somehow or another did this damage. The wife called, and he just on the way home decided he was going to start rejoicing and praising God instead of panicking. And so he just rejoiced and praised God that God was taking care of it. When he got home, he was totally at peace, and he told the wife, we're going to take the baby to the doctor, and we're going to act like it's just for a routine checkup. Nothing's wrong. And they went in, told him what had happened, and the doctor says, I don't know how this happened. Normally, there would be damage, there would be a scar, there'd be something. Says he's perfectly normal. And you know what? It's because they operated in faith. Now, that's available to everybody, but most people panic, and most people are dominated and controlled by what they see instead of what they believe. And you, it's not up to you to just make things happen. What has God already done? What has He already promised you? You can't go out and just make Him do something that He hadn't already provided. But go to the Word. Find out what He's provided. And then you just stand on it. And I don't care what things look like. It's going to happen. You know, I told you that this
parking garage thing. A guy was going to build it for us. Well, anyway, it didn't work. Lots of things happened. And that $23 million parking garage was going to wind up costing me $89 million. And I said, what part of dumb is this? I said, I'm not about to do that. I said, I could go out, take out a loan and build it for $47 million total payout. And I said, I'm not going to do that. And so anyway, the guy's coming back. They're making another offer tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen. But you know what? I just really don't care how it gets done. I may just pave it. Amen. And put 200 more parking spaces over there until we get enough money to build the whole thing. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's not my concern, but I've seen it. And it will happen. You hide and watch. And I know some of you think, well, you don't have any guarantees. This is my evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And I will do it. I will do it. And those of you that are doubting it right now, when it gets built, I want you to come back and kiss my foot, amen, and tell me that you were right and I was wrong, because I guarantee you it will get done. I've seen it. And I'm not just saying something is so when it isn't so. It's already there. In the spirit realm, God's already released the power. It's already done. It's going to happen. And I live my life like this. I don't live by just what I see. Now, I don't ignore what I see, but it's not the end results. I'm not denying that there are times that my body feels certain things. I don't deny the feelings. I just deny that that's all there is. There is another realm. There is a spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm, I've got the same power on the inside of me that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that is more than enough power to deal with what's ever happening to me. And so I don't deny that I have things. You know, most of you missed this, but I had this thing on my ear that was like a cancer or something for 6 years. I was out in the sun playing golf, and it caused a blister to come up on my ear, and I had it for about 6 months, and then I just got tired of it and ripped the thing off. I was tired of looking at it, and it never healed. And it got to where it expanded, and it got to bleeding, and other people looked at it. I didn't have to look at it, but I believed I was healed. I didn't go to the doctor. I had doctors come to me and tell me I had a melanoma and say it was bad. And stuff. And I had people speak negative things over me. I didn't deny it. When people came up and said, what's that on your ear? I didn't say, what's on my ear? I don't have anything on my ear. I didn't deny that it existed, but I just denied that that's all there was. I said, I'm healed. And they said, well, it doesn't look healed. I said, I don't care what it looks like. I'm healed. And I believe it could have happened quicker, but the truth is I was just so busy doing other things and believing for other things that it wasn't a big deal to me. I didn't have to look at it. So I honestly didn't give much effort to it. But after 6 years, it's gone, and I'm healed. And people come up, you're healed. And I said, I told you I was healed 6 years ago. What's your problem? I know what I'm saying. People think, man, this is strange. It's only strange to people who are controlled and dominated by their senses and think that all you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel is all that there is to reality. I'm telling you, there is a spiritual world. There is a spiritual you. And the spiritual you is the real you. And you've got to get to where you go by what the Spirit says. John 6:63, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So, you know, when Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open up the young man's eyes, there's no indication that Elisha ever saw these angels. He didn't have to. In the second chapter of 2 Kings is where Elijah got caught up into heaven by a whirlwind. And as they walked, a chariot and horses of fire came and parted between Elijah and Elisha. And then this whirlwind carried Elijah up into heaven. Elisha had already seen them when Elijah got caught up into heaven. He knew it was real. He didn't have to see it. Did you know once you get to operating this way, you don't have to see anything. Seeing is anticlimactic. When we moved into our other building down in Colorado Springs, that was a big deal. That was actually a bigger deal than this building, comparable to where we were. And everybody was just shouting. We had people running, screaming, yelling. They were so excited that we had done this thing debt-free. And I was just, I was blessed, but I was just like I am right now. And I had people come up, what's wrong? how come you aren't excited? And I said, I was excited 14 months ago when God showed me this and I saw it. I get excited during this imagining stage, visioning stage. I'm already dealing with dozens of other buildings. I've already been drawing pictures. That's exciting to me. That's what gets me blessed. And now that I see it, thank you, Jesus. What's next? Matter of fact, while we were having that dedication service down in Colorado Springs, that would have been in 2004, I was sitting there dreaming about, God, what's the next step? I knew that we wouldn't be in that building very long, and I was looking past that. It fires me up to dream and to be a visionary. And when I see it, thank you, Jesus, what's next? I'm ready to go to the next thing. And not everybody's like that. There are some people that are maintainers, and we need those. Man, we need people that are maintainers. We need accountants to keep me straight and things like that. So I'm not discrediting anybody else, but I'm just saying, man, I love the conception process. I love to see by faith. And brothers and sisters, if you took these things about spirit, soul, and body, and understand that the spirit realm is the parent force. It's what created everything else. It's the greater force. This physical world is going to be dissolved and gone. But the spiritual world, spiritual truth and spiritual reality will exist eternally. There is no end to it. You are a spiritual being. Your spirit is the real you. Spiritual truths are more real than physical truths. And I hadn't arrived. I'm not trying to present that, but man, I have come so far that I just, I don't think the way a lot of people do. And it's because I'm walking by faith. I'm seeing what God said about me. And the way I do that is to take the Word. And I read these things, just like Elisha right here. I see this. And when I'm surrounded and it looks like things are impossible, I think, God, that's just in the physical. What's going on in the spiritual? And God will just show me that He's already provided everything, and it changes my whole outlook, changes everything I do. Elisha wasn't worried about this. And he went out and just raised his hand and he said, Lord, smite the people with blindness. And every one of these soldiers became blind. And he said, take each other by the hand. And they joined hands. And he led the entire Syrian army and captured them and took them to Samaria, and then he opened up their eyes and took the entire army captive. One prophet, without a bow, an arrow, without a sword, he took an entire army captive because he could see into the spiritual realm. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, your problems, they're big because we are carnal and we look at things only in the physical realm. But if you include the spiritual realm, who you are in Christ, what's going on out here, your problems are so insignificant. They aren't even worth worrying about. Man, God's power that's available to you is infinitely greater than any problem that's facing you if you would look with your spiritual eyes. If you would begin to walk by faith and not by sight, you'd find out that, man, your problems are just small. I am not saying that you don't have problems, but I'm saying that compared to God's supply, your problems are not even worth mentioning. They aren't that big of a deal. I just had somebody that's dealing with cancer come to me, and I just laughed. I said, cancer is not a big deal. Cancer is nothing. Amen. And I know people think that's weird, but it's not. Cancer is nothing. Cancer is no match for the spirit man. But most people live in the physical and they just think in the natural and they listen to so much stuff about this is incurable, you can't do this, and that's more real to you than the spiritual world. When you get to where what Christ says about you is more real than what the doctor says and what the banker says and what anybody else says, and you get to where you're really believing it, not wanting it to happen, faking it till you make it, but you believe it's a done deal. In the spirit, it's a done deal. God's already commanded it. And you get to where you can live like that, it's just a matter of time until you'll see it manifest. As you think in your heart, that's the way you will be. Proverbs 23:7. The sad fact is most of us in our heart are thinking wrong. We're thinking in the physical. And we're thinking, Jesus, I asked you to heal me and you haven't done a thing yet. What makes you think you hadn't done it? Well, I hadn't felt anything. That's carnal. Jesus moves. Jesus releases His power long before you see something manifest. Again, I encourage you to get that teaching on what to do when your prayers seem unanswered. I didn't have time to go there, but in Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10, God commanded an angel, Gabriel, to come and give Daniel his answer to prayer. And it took 3 weeks for him to show up. And when he showed up, he says, "The prince of the, from the moment you prayed, God commanded and sent the answer, but the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. God answered 21 days before there was a physical manifestation. God moved, but there was warfare going on in the heavenlies. Now, Daniel couldn't do anything about it because he is an Old Testament man. But we are New Testament people that have authority in heaven and in earth. And so we as New Testament believers, if you would believe that when I pray, I believe I receive. When I pray, I believe it's done. I believe Jesus has already commanded and released the healing. It is a done deal. Now, whatever these hindrances are, Satan, I command you to get out of the way. I command my body to get into line. You take your authority. You can shorten the manifestation period of time in between when you say amen and there it is. But you have to believe that you receive when you pray. That's Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. You have to believe you receive when you pray and then you shall, future tense, see it. How can you believe that you receive when nothing in the natural has happened? It's by acknowledging that there's more than just the natural. There's things going on in the spiritual. God released the power the moment you prayed, and it may take a period of time until you see it manifest, but it's done. And you're rejoicing. You're walking by faith and not by sight. And if you don't waver, and if you get to where you really believe that, then what has already taken place in the spiritual will manifest itself in the physical. It's a guarantee. Amen? Man, that's awesome. I tell you, this is tremendous. And all of this came out of me understanding spirit, soul, and body. It's my spirit that got changed. When I began to be aware that God is a spirit, things happen in the spiritual realm before they happen in the physical realm. When I see something is not when it happened. It happened before. That's just when it manifests itself. That's when all of the hindrances are removed and stuff. But God moves long before you see it. It might be just seconds or it might be 3 weeks. But I can guarantee you, God answered every prayer that you've ever prayed. Every promise that He's ever given, all of them are yes and amen. God has never failed a single thing. It's us that fails to believe. And you can abort what God has done because you are the bridge that it takes to come out of the spirit into the physical realm. You transfer that. And if you quit believing, you stop the power of God. It's according to the power that works in you. God answers every prayer, but it's according to the power that works in us. And if we get to where we're carnal, and because we prayed and didn't see it manifest, and then we think, well, it didn't work. You just aborted it. You just stopped it. He has to flow through you. God doesn't move independent of people. He flows through us. So, man, we got to make sure we're walking in faith. Isn't that simple?
Yeah.
Praise God. Father, I just pray that You'd open up our spiritual eyes. Help us to see with our hearts. Father, help us to see what Your Word says about us. For those who are just having the physical world scream at them and they've got pain in their body or financial problems or relational problems, Father, just help them to lift up their eyes and look beyond the natural and see what You have to say about it. Bring back to their remembrance Scripture. Show them what the Word says. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Thank You, Jesus. Father, without faith, it's impossible to please You. We want to please You. We want to walk by faith. We want to manifest all of Your glory and Your power. So, Father, I just pray this for my brothers and sisters. I thank You that today these truths are going to change people's lives and help them to start walking by what You've already done in the spiritual realm. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed.